I want to talk to you guys a little bit about this. I don't know if some of you saw my post last night, but after Thanksgiving, what do we do with Thanksgiving? And so what do we do with this thing? What do we do with this thing of Thanksgiving that we've been talking about for a whole month? Well, we're going to get into that. But if you would turn to Colossians chapter 3. Want to make mention, too, that our Christmas play is coming up in December the 16th. And it is going to be awesome. Kids have been working real hard. Amanda has been working real hard. The choir and the people that are in it doing speaking parts have been working real hard. So invite your friends and family to come out, especially those that don't have a church home whatsoever. Because especially if your kids are in it. If your kids are in it, then it's an automatic. You know, grandmas and aunts and uncles, they're coming. So be sure to tell everybody that our Christmas play is coming up, because it's, if you come early enough on Sunday mornings, you will hear them singing the Christmas music, and it is so good. It is really, really good. So we are blessed to have talent in this church. Amen. And I thank God that we have an awesome worship team. Amen. Yeah, give them a hand clap. That's all right. But I want to strongly urge you, invite your family to come. I want to fill this place out. We're going to put all these ugly green chairs out, and we're going to fill them up. So, all right. And we're going to have a good time. We're going to get everybody in a Christmas mood. How many of you guys have ever been caroling before? Anybody been caroling before? You know what? And this is no disrespect, but caroling was going through my brain during worship this morning. How many times? A lot of people have been caroling before? I wonder if we couldn't get something together and go do some caroling. Wouldn't that be great? That'd be awesome. Huh? You have song sheets? Really? Wanted to go caroling? All right. Okay. Well, we'll see about that. I would really like to do that. We've done it once, and it was fun. Get to go out and have a good time, and in between houses, you're cutting up. And then, you know, almost every time you hear somebody singing the wrong words. It's great. I remember one time when I was in high school, my one and only recital that I ever did was in front of like 500 people, and there were cameras along the balconies, and I was in the front row, and we were singing, what's, huh? See, I still don't know the words. But I was in the very front row along with a good friend of mine, Clayton Thomas, who was standing right beside me. And this was one song that I just didn't memorize. And so I was just kind of going to lay back a little bit and just blah, 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 you know, those things. And so we're going along, and this place is packed out. We're in the very front row. And we get into this song, and I'm just mouthing the words, and I look over to my buddy, and he's doing the same thing. And it's one of those laughs where if you look at him again, it's going to be bad. And so we're trying not to laugh. Our faces are red, and we just can't contain ourselves. And my music teacher is going, "What are you doing? Stop it. Stop." And she's not missing a beat, but her face, man. And I just could not contain myself. It's just, I could not stop laughing. So I had to turn my head and just, you know, one and only. I'll never do that again. But anyway, I'll go caroling and let you mess up on the words. That'll be great. All right, Colossians chapter 3. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, that I get to preach your word to this wonderful church that I call my family. I thank you so much, Lord, that you've given me the awesome responsibility to lead them, to guide them, and to nourish them in the word. And so, Father, I do that today with great honor. And Lord, I thank you for your word. It never, ever runs out. It is powerful. It's able to cause us to conquer anything in life. And more importantly, Lord, your word leads us straight to your heart. And so, Father, I thank you today for your word. I pray, Lord, that it would be nourishment to our souls today. In Jesus' name, amen. Colossians 3, let's start with verse 12. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the people of Christ, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You know what? This scripture tells us that being a group of believers as we are this morning, that it takes work to be the church. Amen? When you want to be somebody's best friend, sometimes it takes work. It's about rolling up your sleeves and saying, you know what? You offended me. I'm going to forgive you, and we're going to move on. Just like Christ forgave me, I'm going to forgive you, and we're going to move on. The church is a wonderful, beautiful thing that God has created. But this morning, I want to talk to you about what do we do after Thanksgiving? What do we do with this Thanksgiving, after Thanksgiving? Do we put it in the refrigerator and eat it six or seven more times, or we throw it out when we get tired of it? Thanksgiving should be a perpetual thing in a believer's life. It should be a continued lifestyle. And we're going to talk about this and talk about what it means about Thanksgiving. How can we take this annual holiday and turn it into a constant attitude? How can we live a life of gratitude and praise? I want to start by talking about what it means to think thankfully. Think thankfully. Gratitude starts with our thought life. Amen? It begins by taking captive our every thought. It grows out of an attitude of appreciation and humility and a proper perspective. If we want to have Thanksgiving to become a perpetual thing in our life, it cannot be just a Facebook post that we post for 1 month and forget about it for the other 11 months. Amen? It's good to give thanks. It's good to post those things on Facebook, and you should. It's right. It's what we're supposed to do. Let's give glory to God and give him thanks for what he has done in our life. Amen? But let's not forget about the other 11 months. Let's not just have turkey one time a year. Let's not just give Thanksgiving one time a year. Let's do it perpetually. Let's make it a lifestyle. Because giving thanks means that what we are given, we didn't deserve in the first place. Giving thanks is all about attitude. How many of your kids have ever given you attitude before? Christian gave me attitude this morning because he's going to play football at some friend's house today after church. And I said, okay, I want you to grab your snow pants and your jacket and your boots. Dad, they're not going to do that there. You know, constantly giving me attitude. And then he called his friend today and said, what do you want me to bring? What time do I need to be there? He said, well, you need to be there about 12 o'clock, 12:30, and bring your snow pants and your gloves and your jacket and your boots. And I said, is that right, son? Daddy knows a little bit, doesn't he? Sorry, Dad. Sorry for the attitude. I shouldn't have had that. I'm sorry. But Thanksgiving is all about your attitude. Everybody say attitude.
Attitude.
Say my attitude.
My attitude.
Look at your neighbor and says, say, not your attitude.
Not your attitude.
But my attitude. The pastor's talking to you. He's talking to me. And it's the truth. We can't control other people's attitude, can we? We can only control what we say and what we do. Amen? It's time that the church starts taking ownership of their attitude. Ownership of what they say and do, not because of the situations that made me say and do what I said and did. We need to take responsibility for what comes out of this mouth, what comes out of this life, what comes out of this heart. Because what comes out of this mouth and this life and this heart, we are responsible for in the eyes of the Lord. Amen? We know we're not concerned about our brothers and how they are to their attitude. We are to work on ours. The Bible says we are to work out our own what? Man, I tell you what, when God talks about working, we need to put our hard hats on and our steel-toed boots on, because it's work. It's work to be thankful to God, because I don't wake up every morning thankful. Sometimes I wake up irritated and grumpy. Wake up this morning, there's some stuff on the ground. Dana was bouncing around like a little school kid. Made me sick. Made me sick. Hopefully this is the last time it'll snow and it'll be over. That's not in my notes. It's not in my notes. That was free. But attitude, our attitude affects our thanksgiving. It goes beyond just thanking God for certain things, but it goes to the depth of who we are. We should be extremely thankful people. Because Christ died for our sins. He didn't have to do that. For us as believers, that can get old hat. Teach us something deeper, Pastor. Give us something meatier, Pastor. I can't think of anything meatier than Christ died for our sins. And because he died for our sins, we should be thankful for what we have. We were excommunicated. We were separated from the love and the blessings of God. But because of his great mercy and his love toward us, he sent his son, knowing that we'd kill him. Knowing that we would falsely accuse him. Knowing that we would mistreat him and misunderstand him. But he did it anyway. Why? Because he loves us. And because of that, thanksgiving should resonate out of every fiber of our being. Thanksgiving is a powerful thing. Now, having an attitude of gratefulness means that you have realized that what you have, you didn't create yourself, but it came from the Creator. So many times we get wrapped up in our own goodness and our own lives because of, look what we have done. How many of you guys ever seen that movie, Castaway, where he's finally making fire, doing everything he can to make fire, and all of a sudden he made fire, and he said, look what I have created. I have created fire. You know, have you guys seen that movie, Castaway? And it's something that he created, and he was proud of it. And so many times we're doing the same thing around our life that we're burning our own life, and we're saying, look what I have created with my own two hands. And we get caught up in what we have created, and the thanksgiving isn't going up to God, who deserves all the credit. Because it is him that has given us the will to work. It is him that has given us the job that we've prayed for. It is God and him alone that has given us the money that it takes to pay our bills. It's God and him alone that has given us the grace to go through hard times. Our life should be a perpetual Thanksgiving dinner for everyone to feast on, for everyone to partake. It should not be a little dining room table that has just enough for yourself and your family. Our thanksgiving should go beyond who we are so that everyone can taste and see that the Lord is good. I was working in this for Delta Airlines one time, and I was flagging in planes, and there was this really short guy, and he had that syndrome that a lot of short men have. And he was cocky and arrogant, and chest was poked out, and he was the one telling all the nasty, perverted jokes constantly in the break room. Everybody was around him. He was the, you know, life of the party. But I was over here reading and doing other stuff, sleeping during planes coming in. He and I were working a plane one time, and we were in the bin of an airplane. I was one of those guys that shoved the luggage in and broke your stuff. We were sitting there because there was a lull in the baggage coming along, and he was sitting on one side, and I was sitting on the other. And he said, what's different about you? And I said, well, whatever do you mean? And he said, you don't laugh at any of my jokes. And he said, they're really funny. And I go, I think they're perverted and dirty. And he goes, why? And I go, you really need to know why? And he said, well, what is it that's different about you? And I said, I'm a Christian. He goes, I knew it. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, he said, you're not doing what everybody else is doing. And I said, you know, I said, I'm different because of what Christ has done in me. That's the difference. It's not because I'm better than you, because I'm not. I'm the same as you. The difference is that Christ's love and forgiveness dwells inside of me. And I no longer consider what is perverted funny or right or good. I call evil bad, and I thank God for the good. And he said, okay, that's enough preaching. And I said, but you know what? That's the difference. So I thank God that he has given me his mercy and his forgiveness in my life. And I said, his forgiveness and his mercy can be yours too today. And then baggage started coming up, and then we had to get back to work. But people should be able to look at your life and see the difference. And the reason why they should be able to see the difference isn't because of your own goodness. Because everyone around us considers themselves good. Everyone around you in your workplace considers themselves not to be evil, but to be a pretty decent person. But in your life, it has to be more. And that more isn't based on how good you can be. That more isn't based on how many good works you can do above your neighbor, above your coworker. What should be the difference is the grace of God living inside of you. That's what makes the difference. Because if your family can't tell a difference, if your coworkers can't tell a difference, you may want to check yourself. You may want to reconsider what your life is all about. Because our life should exude thanksgiving. Amen? Having an attitude of gratefulness means that we have realized that it hasn't come from ourselves, but it has come from God. What is the opposite of thankfulness? Complaining, arguing, grumbling about your work constantly, grumbling about your lot in life, grumbling about what you don't have, grumbling about your spouse, grumbling about your kids, putting a funk and a cloud around your entire life. That's the opposite of thankfulness, thanksgiving. And when we get constantly caught up in what we don't have, we neglect what we do have. We have a great hope inside of us that will never leave us, that will never forsake us, that will light the way in the darkness of our life. Do not neglect the grace of God in your life. Amen? Our sinful nature wants to convince us that we deserve more, that we are in the right, or that we have been taken advantage of, or that we really have it bad, or that we're supposed to have this, and we're entitled to this, and we're entitled to that. That's what our sinful nature says, because we're selfish creatures. Amen? We're selfish. So let's talk about thinking thankfully. Let's look at, there's three things I want you to see about this. Number one, there's prayer. Let's look at Philippians. Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Let's look at verse 7. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." It says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Wow. So number one is prayer. The way you keep worry and anxiety away is through prayer. When we pray with thanksgiving, we are thanking God for the ability to pray. We are thanking Him for answering our prayers. When we pray with thanksgiving to God, it's a way of adjusting our thinking to the will of God when we pray. When we worry and constantly worry about things, it pushes God away. It makes us forget about His faithfulness. It makes us forget about His goodness. It makes us forget about His perpetual presence in our life when we constantly worry. Now I'm going to ask you to do this. Raise your hand if you've ever worried. Hold on, I'll wait one more second. All right. We've all worried. I could raise two hands and two legs. We have all worried in here. But the Bible says in order to combat that, in order to push that back, when worry comes on you, the Bible says the antidote for worry, for anxiety, is prayer. It says it right here. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. It says, don't be anxious about anything, but pray. Because prayer does this. It adjusts our thinking so that our thinking will fall in the line of God's will. In other words, we instead of praying about what we don't have, sometimes we get caught up in this. God, why do I not have this? God, why are you late in answering my prayers? God, why has this happened? I prayed and that this wouldn't happen, but it happened, and I'm mad and upset. And you know what? It's okay to be mad and upset. Tell God how you feel. But do not stay there. Do not stay there. Because when you stay in that attitude of why God, you'll begin to start blaming God. And when you begin to start blaming God, bitterness sets in. Resentment starts to set in. You guys know what I'm talking about. And instead of going, why God, our prayer should be, Lord, I'm anxious. These bills are coming due, and I have no way of knowing how they're going to be paid for. Lord, I've been faithful in working. I've been faithful in your word. I love you more than my life. And so, Lord, instead of freaking out, I'm going to trust you to provide. And so, Lord, I praise you and thank you now that I don't see it right now, but I know it's coming. I thank you, Father, that you are more than enough for me. And because of it, you're gonna see this thing through. Lord, I don't have a job right now, and I've been trying really hard. And I thank you that job is out there. I thank you, Lord, that you're giving me favor in that job. I thank you, Lord, that's my job. That's how Dana got a job. It wasn't because she's the best nurse in the whole wide world. It's because she has the favor of God on her. Amen. And it's not because she's the pastor's wife either. You got the favor of God on you. Right. And when you have the favor of God on you, it causes you to have a confidence that's not your own. It causes you to have an assurance that you're a king's kid. And because you're a king's kid, he's going to work it out for you. Now, sometimes we get ourselves in situations and God just lets us go through it to teach us a lesson. Amen? Sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers, but he does answer our prayers by not answering our prayers because we did it to ourselves. And he's teaching us a lesson. But when we pray, when we get into the pits of despair, and try this, try it. I promise you that it'll work. It's not a promise based on me. It's in his word. Next time you go through something, pray. Don't blame God. Be honest. Lord, I got myself into this mess. But Lord, because you're faithful, because you're good, I'm going to learn my lesson. And I'm going to praise you anyway. Lord, I know it's not you that did it. It's me that has done it. And so, Lord, I thank you that I've learned this lesson. Thank you, Father, for giving me wisdom to not do this again in Jesus' name. That's how you pray right. That is the prayer that will reach the heart of God through a person that has thanksgiving in their life. Number two, worship. Worship also has a way of putting us in a mindset of thankfulness. Look at Colossians. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God." Sometimes we just got to get out of our own heads. Sometimes we've just got to focus in upon the Lord. Sometimes we've got to just worship God despite all of our circumstances. Here's the number one downfall that we have as believers. We withhold our praise until he's faithful. We withhold our praise until he is faithful. Let me tell you something. He is already faithful. He has done everything that he can knowingly do for you. And so the best thing that we can do is to worship despite it all. Let our hands go up. Let our mouths go forth and our words go forth with declarations that nothing is going to keep us down whenever we come into the house of God. That we're going to worship despite our pain. We're going to worship despite what we're going through. We're going to worship despite our attitude. We're going to worship despite our relationships. We're going to worship God despite everything that goes on in our life. We refuse not to worship. That when Amanda and the rest of the team get up there and lead us into worship, we should shut off those things and concentrate upon God, because healing can come in worship. Amen. Healing can flow through your attitude of worship. I don't have to lay hands on you for healing to flow. The Holy Spirit, through your willingness to worship, can heal you, can deliver you, can set you free in Jesus' name. There is so much power in worship. Do not hold your worship back until you feel like God has been faithful enough. If you're doing that, repent today, because you're in sin. When you neglect to worship God, when you hold back your faithfulness in worshiping him, it is sin. Because he is right, he is holy, and he is just. And those three things alone, despite your pain, is worthy of your praise. Amen? Is worthy of your praise. Worship is a powerful thing. I get myself lost and caught up in worship. I love it. I love to throw my hands up and to vocalize it with my mouth and let the meditation of my heart come forth in thanksgiving. Because he is so, 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 so worthy, church. Amen? Now, singing lifts up our spirit, focuses our attitude on God, and puts us in an attitude of praise. If that's not happening in your singing and in your life, you need to reevaluate yourself. You need to You need to ask the Lord, Lord, what is it about me that, why am I not entering in? Why am I not worshiping? It sure isn't because of the worship we have, because it's phenomenal. It's not because of lack of talent. It's not because of lack of effort. But when we're not feeling the presence of God, maybe it isn't because of the church you go to. Maybe it's your attitude. Amen? Maybe it's your attitude. There's a well-known author that says we got to get rid of that stinking thinking. And it's so true. We've got to get rid of it. Lastly, thinking thankfully involves dwelling on the good. Our minds can sometimes be uncooperative, right? Come in here and halfway through worship, you realize that worship's going on and your mind has been going 90 to nothing. Case in point, last night I came home and I was writing my sermon out at the dinner table, and Joshua comes up to me, and he's playing at the end of the table. He's playing with his Lego guys, and he's crashing them into one another like boys do. And he comes over, and he said, "What you doing, Dad?" I have my laptop up, and I was looking at some different things concerning thankfulness. And I said, "I'm writing my sermon out." And he goes, "Really?" And he looks over, and he goes, he's intrigued. He goes, "How do you do that?" And I said, "Well, God gives me a thought, and that thought turns into a study. And then that study turns into me writing it down and putting it the way I want it." And he goes, "Wow, that's cool, Dad." And I go into the other stuff. And he goes, "Hey, hold on a minute. Hey, Dad, this is totally off the subject. Remember that time we were in the car and I had my shirt off? And you said, 'I'm inspired.' And you took your shirt off. We were riding down the road with our shirts off. You remember that, Dad?" And I'm going, "What are you talking about?" And it dawned on me, I was writing this point down right here, and the Lord spoke to me, and he goes, "There's your illustration for tomorrow." And it's so funny, because he was all into, "Dad, how do you do that? How do you get a sermon together?" I mean, he was really like up in my business wanting to know, and then he was like, "Oh, totally off the random thought, Dad." And sometimes we're like that. We're like an 8-year-old kid that can't keep his thoughts together. We did do that, by the way. Because of our natural inclinations toward evil, we have to train our minds to think about what is good. It doesn't just magically happen. It's through a deliberate act of training ourselves to think about what is good, what is right, what is just, what is holy, what is praiseworthy. Think about these things, because I'm telling you, if you look on the news, if you read the paper, if you look on the internet, if you read all the stuff about what's going on in our country, what's going around the world, we can get down quickly. We can get negative quickly, can't we? Just take our own lives. Don't forget about the world. If we look at our lives, sometimes we can look and get so caught up in what's not going right that we forget what is going right in our life. If all you have to praise God is that you've got breath in your lungs, then praise God with all you got, because you're still alive. You still have a chance. You've got tomorrow. It's going to get better. Amen? You've got to profess those things over your life. Sometimes you've got to get militant about it. Even when you don't feel it. Even when you don't want to do it. How many of you guys love getting up I saw this lady this morning running in the snow today, up and down the road. I'm going, "Good grief, really? Come on." But take a break, it snowed, you know. But nobody does here. That's the funny thing. We would have called church off today, back home. It's the truth. It's the truth. This snow would shut down Savannah. That's just the way it is. That's southern living right there at its best. But sometimes we've got to speak those things that are not in our life as though they were. Sometimes we've got to train ourselves to run the race. The Bible says that what we're in is a race. And that when we train ourselves, we condition ourselves to do that task. Amen? I think we've got a biker in here that bikes a lot. Anybody know who that is? I think she's won a couple awards in her day. But the first time I met her was at Chris Wirtz's house. And we were eating, I forget what we were eating, but it was a lot of good stuff. But she brought in her own stuff, and she made it herself, and it was all healthy and yucky and stuff. And but she's got this bike that cost an insane amount of money. She giggled at me because I told her I had somebody give me a $500 bike, and she thought that was ridiculous, but anyway. But she trains herself to do this. She gets up and she rides her bike, and she goes up and down these hills. She does the treadmill thing. She eats right. She does all of this stuff. She buys the right equipment in order to race correctly, to win the race. She doesn't go out to do second place. She goes out to win. The Bible says that we are to run a race as to win it. Not just to finish it, but to win it. We have been given inside of us something that we could not win without, and that's God's grace and His strength and His mercy and power in our life. The Bible says that we are to cast off everything that would hinder us from running the race. Now, Denise wouldn't take my bike and go out and try to win that race because it just wouldn't happen. It creaks a lot. Sometimes the handlebars go this way and I'm going straight. So you have to have the right equipment. And sometimes through this thing called life, we try to use our own equipment, which is our own understanding, our own wisdom, our own strength, our own willpower, our own stubbornness. And those things do not work. It is only through the grace and the power of God that causes us to overcome. We have got to condition our thinking around the Word of God. The Bible says that we are, whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is right, whatever is holy, whatever is just, think upon these things. But so many times we get our eyes off the prize and we begin to think about what is negative, what is unholy. We begin to think about what is unrighteous. We begin to think about what we do not have and what others have and what we deserve and why we're not getting it and how much we deserve it. But the Bible says we are to think upon those things that are right and just. Philippians 4:8, let's turn there. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about such things. This is a great thought filter. Ask yourself, are my thoughts true? Are they noble? Are they right? Are they pure? Are they lovely? Are they admirable? If not, it might be time to make an adjustment. It might be time to readjust the way we think, the way our attitude is toward God. Along with thinking thankfully, we need to talk thankfully. Talking thankfully involves praising others, God, and sharing our attitude. The last thing I want to talk to you about is this, is acting thankfully. Like I said, there should be something so unique about a believer, so unique about a believer, that their attitude, their speech, how they walk, how they carry themselves, exudes the grace and love of God, the thankfulness of God, and how we act. 1 Timothy 1, Verse 12. It says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. He said, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. He was thanking God that he was counted worthy to serve God. You ever thought about serving others? You ever thought about serving God through your pain? Serving others even while you're going through stuff? Putting your life aside so that others may gain? See, there's a guy, I believe, 2,000 years ago, so what was his name? Jesus, that's right. Jesus did that. He was this holy and righteous person who had never done a thing wrong, sinless. And every time he went to speak somewhere, every time that he voiced his opinion, a mob would form. They'd grab him by the arms and try to throw him off a cliff. But Jesus, even in the midst of that, was still serving people. He was loving people. He was ministering to blind people who were calling out his name. He was teaching Peter how to walk on water. He was healing the blind. He was healing the lame. He had time for those that nobody else had time for. Jesus was serving God through his life, through his pain, despite his busy schedule. This guy had thousands of people following after him all the time, grabbing at him. But yet he would stop when he heard his name called out. This one lady, she had been rich before, but she contracted this issue that she kept bleeding, and for years she gave all her money away to people, doctors trying to cure her, trying to take her money, took advantage of her. And because of it, she was deemed unclean. Because of it, she was lesser in society. One day, Jesus was walking through this town, and he was very busy. His disciples created this little area around him so he could walk. And the Bible says that people were pressing in on every side. That means that the disciples were having to hold back people because people were wanting to touch him. People were wanting to get at him. And all of a sudden, this lady that society had thrown away, I picture her down on her hands and knees just trying to get to the hem of his garment. And she said, if I could just touch his garment, I know that I'll be healed. And so she did it, and Jesus stopped, and he said, somebody touched me. Who touched me? His disciples are saying, Jesus, there's hundreds of people trying to get at you. What do you mean, who touched you? He said, power left me. Who touched me? And this lady that society had given up on fell at the Savior's feet and said, it was me. And he blessed that woman and said, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. You see, Jesus, if Jesus had time for the outcast in our society, if Jesus had time, even he had people pulling at him constantly, then you and I need to be in an attitude of thankfulness in the way that we act toward other people. That our thanksgiving would go into other people's lives, touching them, healing them, encouraging them, giving someone a smile, paying for somebody's coffee behind you or in front of you. Maybe at the drive-thru, get creative. I can't tell you what a $5 gift will do to somebody, or a smile, or an encouraging phone call. How many times have we had somebody on our minds for over a week and we didn't do anything about it? And we ask God, God, how come you don't use me in my life? The Lord said, I tried to for a week, but you wouldn't listen. Do you know that encouraging people is ministry? Hugging people is a ministry. Sharing the love of God is a ministry. Your pulpit is wherever you go in life. Your pulpit is whatever you decide to do for the glory of God. Let this go with you. Because your pulpit isn't just defined by here. My pulpit isn't defined by here. My pulpit goes wherever I go because the grace of God goes with me. Amen? God doesn't wait in this building for us to come on Sundays and Wednesdays. He goes with us. This is just a building. It's not the church. When people come in, the church have arrived. Amen? We are the church. There's nothing, let me say, this. There's nothing holy about this building. Okay? Nothing. It's brick and mortar. What is holy is when His people come into this place with hurts in their life and they worship God despite it. They let their thanksgiving permeate in the nostrils of God and say, Father, thank you so much that you saved a wretch like me. Thank you, God, that you have delivered me. If you have done anything else ever again in my entire life, I thank you, Father, for what you have done in my life. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's all stand up this morning.